Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
All right, guys, welcome back to This Dude Started Something. This is the first episode of season two. And today we have a guest whose voice has been played in minivans, in living rooms, and in theaters worldwide. He survived the deep blue sea, dodged sharks, escaped a dentist office, and still had time to be Bambi. He's been in Hollywood since before he could spell it, and he's been the theme of thousands of childhood birthday parties. Give it up for the legend, the childhood icon, the man himself, Alexander Gould. How you doing, Alexander?
Great, thank you.
Awesome. All right, let's start with Nemo. You were like 6 years old when you auditioned, right? Up against 2,000 other kids. Tell us a little bit about that for what you can like still remember.
it was a while ago now. I was up against I had probably 2,000 or more other kids. And at the time I was kind of auditioning. I had been in a few other small roles. And it was just kind of another audition. I actually think I auditioned for the role when I was like five. Went into a recording studio. I lived in LA. So it's at, Disney Studios in Burbank. And went in and I auditioned for it and nothing came of it. It was another audition that I did. I had auditioned for voiceover roles before and didn't hear anything. And then I think like a year later, from what I kind of remember when I've been told that there was I got a call back. And it's crazy. You think usually you get a call back within a month, 2 months maximum.
A year. Like what happened? Did they delay it or something?
Exactly. So I guess the process for animated films just takes so long that they had, extra time.
That is crazy.
So yeah, like a year later, I got a call back. And then again, didn't hear anything for like 2 or 3 months. And then they kind of called me in and were like, oh, you got a part, like come in. And when I went in, there was a bunch of other kids there. It was like me and four other kids because they were filming that initial like school scene. Scene with all the other kids. I remember them kind of talking to everyone and we were like, oh, what character am I playing? And they were like, oh, it's Nemo, like the voice of Nemo, like the main character, the title character of the film. And it was like, wow, that's huge. And yeah, I was probably about six at this point. And then the film took about 3 years to complete. So it didn't, we didn't finish recording it.
Gosh.
And I don't think it came out until a year later when I was like 10.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So are they animating it like as you're like voice acting it?
Yeah, so they animate the film as I'm acting, as I'm in it.
Dang.
Yes, they record me and then animate to my voice a bit. And I remember several times where they had me record the same thing multiple times because they want it said in a slightly different way and for how the animation works and stuff. So they're definitely like animating that whole time. And it was cool because when I was doing the role, I'm a kid. And I kept flying up to Pixar Studios, which is in San Francisco, in the Bay Area. And they would constantly be showing me like drawings and renderings and take me to their, at the time it was the state of the art, like computer systems that they had up there, all built by Apple. And they would show me everything and how they were animating it and all the technology and stuff. And that was a pretty cool thing to see.
Wait, so okay, when you're voice acting, what is it? Is it just like a piece of paper and like you're not looking at anything, so you're just kind of acting the script out, right? With whoever is in the scene. So you're not like watching anything like animation, right?
Yeah. So for Nemo and for a lot of like big animated films, they don't even have the other people in the scene in the room with you. So it's just you.
Really?
And the director, yeah, because they want to minimize the noise. I think a lot of like TV shows do the whole cast together because they kind of improv and do things with each other. But for this, they want to stick to the script, you know, perfectly. So it would just be me and the director in a small little recording booth. And usually there were directors on the other side of like a soundproof glass and like intercoms into the booth and kind of gives me direction, tells me what to do. Because I was so little, they kind of sometimes had the director in there to like interact with me more, to get more emotion out of me. Which, you know, if you're older, you can get that going yourself a bit more. Right. And something like just a fun little detail that I don't even know if I've talked about before is because they're so sensitive with the sound, they put all of the pieces of the script on these cardboard like plates, you know, like a piece of cardboard. Mm-hmm. Be this big stack of cardboard, and I remember every time we'd finish like a page of the lines, it wasn't like a dialogue like you'd see on a normal movie or TV script. Every time we finished the page of the lines, we'd have this like fun game, because I'm a kid and I remember it, so it was fun, where we just like throw the piece of cardboard around, so I'd be like trying to wedge it in between the little foam boards. They're trying to make it fun for me.
That's good.
Yeah. No, it's kind of interesting. Like, I don't know. Like, when you're a kid, it's almost like, do you think acting is easier when you're a kid, or do you think it's harder?
That's a good question. In some ways, it's easier. You get a lot more of, like, say it like this, like a line read, which is a little bit, I think, taboo among actors as adults, because an actor wants to, like, make their own decisions, and you can, like, give them direction, like, say it more in this way or more in that way. But like to actually say where's the ball in and say how they should say it, like you wouldn't do that, but you do that a lot for kids, I think. Right. As a kid, like acting comes from a very natural place. It's just like play. Like acting is just when you're acting, you're in your imagination. So it helps if you're a kid who's like really vivid imagination, which I did. And as an adult, it can be a little more difficult to like access that place. And that's why you hear people going into like method acting and doing really crazy things where they're, you know, where they're getting themselves all emotionally worked up. Thankfully, I never trained in like method acting. I was more of the imaginative actor as I grew up, just kind of thinking about what those emotions would feel like and expressing them in the moment with the lines. Which is, I think, a much healthier way than method acting.
Probably. Method acting comes with some side effects, probably.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, drug addiction or something.
Yeah.
But,
you're caught up in a character.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. And I feel like people, sometimes adults, I feel like just, I don't know if you're thinking about what other people think more. I don't know. When you're a kid, it's like nobody's going to, you can't really do anything like wrong. Like when you're a kid, you know, you can't really do it wrong. Nobody's going to, you know, make fun of you or whatever. Like, I don't know. Yeah, I feel like it's almost easier to do it when you're a kid, but obviously still very impressive. So when you're in the booth, you're saying like, okay, Ellen as Dory, she's not even recording at the same time as you in a different room?
No, nobody's in it. They all do it at separate times, and then they literally like line by line, they go in and cut them together with the animation, which
it's crazy. It sounds so natural still.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Everyone's, you know, each line that you say, you know, let's say it's anemone, like I'm going to say it 10, 15, 20 different ways. And then they're going to pick the one that they like and that fits in with how the other character said something and stitch it all together.
Oh my goodness, dude.
Wow.
That's so like, that's impressive. Tedious. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It is.
It took like 3 years, like 2 or 3 years. Were you doing school? Because you're like, I don't know, like 6, 7, 8. Were you in school? Were you like being homeschooled? Like, how was that?
Yeah. So growing up my whole life, I was homeschooled. And
okay.
I kind of was educated by on-set tutors and my parents and myself a lot. I did in high school some more like online programs where I had, you know, virtual teachers. before Zoom was really a thing. Like, it was the very early days of online school. So it was a little bit of an unconventional upbringing, because I didn't have like that standard school experience. And it was because I was on set a lot and needing to fly to San Francisco and drive to this set. And even during those 3 years, like I think I was in three or four other things during that time period, or more little guest star roles and stuff. But I was like acting pretty consistently during that time.
And was that because like your parents were big into the acting scene? Like, how did you get that start at such a young age? Because I'm sure you weren't the one that like found the role or something.
That's right. Yeah, my mom was in the acting scene, and she was in that world kind of, and had a friend who was a manager who kind of brought me in. And then obviously I was very talented, because there's a lot of kids who start in the acting scene who never do anything. So that right. Like,
they're just kind of natural at it.
Like, it was lucky that I had the opportunity and the talent, you know, that it lined up.
Yeah. Are you happy that it went, that your mom did that for you? Or do you almost sometimes, I mean, but also recording it that young, it's like you still have an opportunity to create your own path. You know, I was going to say, yeah. Are you kind of like, do you wish you could have just done it, you know, on your own, or how do you feel about that?
I think I'm definitely grateful for all the opportunities that I had growing up. It was was a really cool experience, and I'm very grateful. I think it was a fun way to grow up. It definitely came with its challenges. Like, I learned a lot about the world and was in some very, you know, intense spaces with a lot of people from a young age. You know, a lot of adult. I was the only kid in the room pretty often. Growing up, which was interesting, but yeah, no, it was fun. I'm definitely grateful for it.
How do you think you are different compared to like the average kid, or, you know, growing up in Hollywood? How do you think your life was different?
I mean, definitely being on set. Like, when I went on to do Weeds, which was, you know, the other big show I was on from 10 to 18, I was on sets. I was going to some like random Hollywood parties, especially when I was a little older, and I had friends. I was through kind of a youth group and spaces, I made a bunch of friends, but I would bring those friends along to some of these parties or come to my set, and it was very different. Like, they were like, wow, you're living a crazy experience, you know. At one point, I'm walking onto set and Snoop Dogg was there. And it was another point, you know, there's all these different
people you grew up.
And because I was a kid and because I was homeschooled, it was a little, like, I was a little, like, separate from it. Like, I didn't always look at it and be like, wow, I'm meeting all these cool people. I didn't know a lot of the time who these people kind of were. But it was definitely a cool experience. It was, like I said, I learned a lot. I think I'm a pretty like introspective person, so like it gave me a lot of food for thought to like digest over the coming years and kind of understand the world as I kind of came into adulthood.
Yeah.
Like, on the other side, is there any like regrets? Like, maybe you watch like all these movies about like what the average American high school experience is like, and maybe you're like, dang, I wish I could.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Had that. Is there any regret that, like, man, I shouldn't have got into Hollywood this young?
I don't know if there's a regret. I don't think I live with regret, but I definitely at the time looked at it And there were moments throughout it where I wanted just kind of a normal life. Like when I was 15 and other friends were just kind of going on their like high school trips or hanging out with their friends, like, and I'm on set filming, there was times when it was tough, but in retrospect, I don't really regret that I had that different experience, because I think in general, like that standard high school experience in the United States is like, it's the same for everyone. So at least I had like an exciting thing that I was able to do. And like I said, I think it shaped my character a little bit more than some of my friends who just went through that standard experience, but that's just me.
Yeah. Well, and so many, I mean, a lot of teens wish they were Nemo, you know?
Right. Like, I guess so.
100%. You know what I mean? Oh, I did. I was like, dang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tried to get in. Yeah. I mean, I auditioned for, I think it was Nickelodeon. Mm-hmm. And I mean, yeah, it's competitive. So just, I mean, there's a lot of people doing it, wanting to do it, you know? So just,
it's super competitive. And yeah. I think if anything, like I look back and think like I could have appreciated it a little more at the time. Cause now I appreciate it so much. Like you're saying, like, wow, I would like, that was such an amazing experience. But at the time I was a little caught up in like, you know, being a teenager and wanting to rebel against whatever was in front of me, which is what that at the time.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. For sure. Yeah, it's crazy. Like you created, I mean, at what point did you realize that you created one of the best films of all time?
That's a good question. I think pretty early on, like I always said when I was younger and did interviews and things that I had no idea how big the film was going to turn out to be. And I don't know if anyone even at Pixar did. Like it ended up being at the time, like the biggest film Pixar had done, like just in terms of it won awards, it made a lot more money and just became this huge phenomenon. So I think, and that happened pretty quickly because you see the box office kind of go off and everything gets huge. So pretty early on, it was like, wow, this is a really huge thing, really cool thing to be a part of.
And you got to be on Ellen. I just recently watched that video. That was so cool. Yeah, I think you were 9 years old. And you said, well, she asked you, what do you want to do when you grow up, right? Because you're 9 at this time. And you said that you wanted to invent flying cars.
That was my dream for a while. Yeah.
Has that dream changed or have you invented a flying car?
I have not invented a flying car. I would say the dream's changed slightly, but like still like that's kind of my second career that I'm in right now, which is not inventing flying car technology in general. Like I was an innovator and kind of had that kind of entrepreneurial mindset from a young age and through college and coming back into the workforce. I'm a software engineer now. I'm building cool things. So the spirit of it is there. Whereas, you know, I like coming up with ideas and building them. I don't know how practical that a flying car is nowadays. I think I've heard someone talk about flying cars and be like, I don't think we need more things like potentially falling out of the sky. You know, there's enough with helicopters and airplanes.
Good point.
So having a bunch of pedestrians driving flying cars around.
That would be a mess, wouldn't it? Oh man, that'd be terrible.
You need a better system for them to like float out of the sky if something went wrong. Like,
all right.
And then we'd have like drinking and flying problems. Like,
yeah, right.
Especially in Australia.
Yeah.
Especially in Australia.
Yeah. And how do you get pulled over if you're, you know, right up there? You gotta land.
That's true. You just put it in hover.
No, it's not
that. That'd be so complicated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back to the Future definitely had it wrong.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Like the other thing you said was you wanted to be a marine biologist. Do you still feel like connected to the ocean or like, do you like the ocean?
I love the ocean. I mean, if I could, I'd spend all my time, you know, living.
Well, you lived there for like 3 years.
That's true. You lived underwater technically.
Yes. So this is underwater. No, yeah, I love the beach, love the ocean. I don't live near the ocean now, but I would love to be by the beach. I definitely have spent a lot of time on vacation in beachy ocean areas.
No, me too. I feel the same way. Here, I want to know a little bit more about you. If you could describe yourself as like three fictional characters and not Nemo or Bambi or anybody else you've played, who would you choose, like, to, you know, define your personality?
That's interesting. Fictional characters I choose. I have to think about that one.
Oh yeah, you can think about it. I don't know what I would do.
Yeah.
That's really tough, honestly.
I feel like it's hard to split the difference between being like presumptuous. Like, I'd be like, oh, like Tony Stark, I like being, you know, but I'm not like Tony, you know, nowhere near that kind of character.
Well, we can tone it down to go to like Dr. Nefario or something, like Despicable Me.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to definitely have a bunch of little names running around. That's, yeah, that's a good question. I there's a lot of characters, kind of a mix between thinking entrepreneurial type who's smart and also just kind of, I guess, laid back, relaxed. I've been told by a lot of people that if they were stuck on a desert island with one person, they'd want it to be me. Like they like, I'm very handy.
That's
like
a good compliment.
Building things, like, and so, like, you know, a little MacGyver-y, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Some cool things in there, yeah.
Oh, dude, so I could definitely see Tony Stark. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Tony Stark's, like, nephew or something you didn't know about. Yeah,
the nephew who didn't do, you know, didn't build everything, but maybe if I inherited it, I could do some cool things.
But you definitely have your own movie, I feel like, if you were that character. Like, I could definitely see it. Yeah, Oliver, were you going to ask a question?
Oh, I was going to say, if you could like share with us, what are some of the things that you have built or are currently working on?
Yeah. So currently working on a few different things. I'm working on a project. It's my company. It's an app that tracks security guards when they're doing their rounds around various different places. So I acquired the company. I'm rebuilding it and turning it into something better and a new system that's completely rewriting the old system, which is cool. I built an escrow system for people. You know, these are just different like projects. I have a couple ideas for like one for a really cool game that's going to be kind of like Minecraft but in space. It's kind of the idea that I'm building, and so. Yeah,
that could be.
Dude, we're gonna have to play that.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Oh, yeah. Dang! Did you play Minecraft when you were a kid?
I played it like the very very early days when I was like probably 15, like way before it was popular. You had to like download some weird specific, you know, files that maybe had viruses in them, and it was kind of sketchy, and just like booted up on your computer, and it wasn't like this big phenomenon that it kind of became. Yeah.
Wow. So explain to me, what's the benefit of, I want to go back to the first invention that you, or business that you're doing, tracking security guards. Like, what are the benefits of that? Just so that like business owners and stuff can see, keep track of them?
Yeah. If you live in a building or go to a strip mall or a mall, most places have security guards that do their rounds. And as the owner of usually they work for like a security company. And the security companies want to make sure that their guards are consistently moving around the property, that they have a way to report and send in any reports if someone is breaking into something or a car alarm's going off or whatever. And our app allows them to track themselves. So they scan little RFID tags as they're going around the property, and they can take pictures of things and submit them and create reports. And there's a lot of like compliance reporting issues that, you know, they need to keep, so that if someone comes back and says, oh, your guards weren't doing something, that's why my store was broken into, they can show a report and say, no, they were here at this time, and keep them consistent. So it's like kind of a niche industry, but it's a good business, and there's a lot of security guard companies around the country, world. So and they all kind of need something like this.
And like, being a niche business is good. Me and Braden were talking about this, because it's like, you would rather be the big fish in a smaller pond than just a tiny little fish in the biggest pond.
Yeah.
Oh, no pun intended. Right.
Yes. No, for sure. Yeah, it's a good, it's it's a good business rule to stay in a niche and come up with something that just someone has a very specific use case for. You're not trying to serve everyone. You're trying to serve just the specific people who want to buy your product, and you can build the best product for them.
Yeah. And I can totally see how businesses would want that. It's just like a next step to like having security cameras, you know? And it is, it's kind of like for the security guard's sake as well, you know, which is cool.
And then they have a record of their business, how they do their job. And
So it sounds like you really like the tech industry. Have you ever thought about, I know you say you're still kind of floating around and, you know, auditions and or around the industry of films. Have you ever thought about like getting into directing or producing your own films?
I'd love to. I have a couple of scripts that I've written that I've kind of floated around. I'd love to direct. I'd love to create something. I'm just not, that's not where my energies are put at the moment. I'm, you know, kind of in this tech world, but and like auditioning is very easy to just kind of take an audition, learn it, send off a tape. Everything's virtual now, so it's as long as you have a camera and some lights, it's pretty easy. But I have some good friends who are in the process of getting some films, trying to get some films made, and that's like a whole other, like, you gotta, you know, I'm trying to run a business, that's a whole business in itself. You gotta kind of run. So maybe I've actually took a break from acting for a couple of years, but now I'm auditioning again. So if I get back in that world, get a role, and maybe eventually I'll end up directing or producing or something.
Oh, that'd be cool. Sick, dude. Me and Oliver would be interested in acting on that if you want an audition. That'd be awesome.
So you know how to code. Did you do that in college? Because I think you said you went to college, right?
Yeah.
Did you do like software engineering or something?
I actually didn't. I like took a few classes in it, but learned the bulk of it after college, kind of self-taught. I did study philosophy in college, kind of thinking about life. And I think after the experiences I had as an
hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Actor, I was looking for some kind of deeper existential kind of understanding of life. So philosophy was a great major for that. And like learned a little bit about coding, and I've always had friends who were into it. And after that kind of picked it up over the subsequent few years.
No, I could totally see that where you get into, you know, childhood acting, and I mean, it's important, you know, it's bringing happiness to a lot of people, but you know, I can see how you want something, you know, deeper. And, I think it's cool that you, you know, went that route. So what's like, let's go tech and acting included. Mm-hmm. What's been like your favorite project that you've like ever worked on?
Definitely Weeds. Weeds was like, was 8 years. And I kind of grew up on that show. But it was like a really fun show with cool subject matter. The people were great. I know a lot of people, like young actors, have kind of negative experiences with people in the industry. I thank God the show that I was on was just like an amazing group of people. Everyone was just really kind and nice. And it was like, it was so fun to kind of flesh out the character I was on that show over those 8 years. I got to really like that character had a lot of growth, a lot of change. And you mentioned you hadn't seen the show, but he was kind of like crazy. Like he ended up being like crazy in a really fun way. Like he went from being a little kid in the show to like ending up killing someone, like to protect his family, but like.
Dude, and,
but there
crazy.
Was like a lot of like depth in the character, which was really fun to portray.
What'd you, so you didn't do method acting for that one either?
No, I don't think that would have been super healthy. I mean, the character was so well written because it was very like, there was always a reason behind what he did. He wasn't like just went wild and went on a killing spree. He was trying to protect his family. He had like early, the premise of the show is that his mom sells pot and gets wrapped up with the cartels and gets wrapped up with everyone in the drug industry, you know, back in the 2000s before weed was even legal. And it kind of, it was a funny kind of dark comedy, but it was also an expose on the drug industry and drug trafficking and the cartels and gangs and all sorts of stuff before kind of, it was one of the first of its kind to kind of do that type of show. And so my character, because his mom was the one who started selling pot and gets wrapped up in all of this, ends up like living with gang members and they become his mentors. And like, it was a very fun, character arc to kind of be and grow with.
Yeah. For 8 years.
No, yeah, that's crazy. It's like with a series, it's like that's like almost becomes your life, you know?
Yeah. So
it's like you kind of grew up with some gangs.
Right, yeah. Well, not real ones. They were all actors. They were all very kind. Oh, okay. The funniest part was all these people who were playing these like really hard like gang members who are scary. They're like teddy bears in real life. Like they're kindest, funny. Like sweetest people you've ever met. But then they, you know, they turn it on. They're actors, which is hilarious.
Yeah. So what was your, you didn't do method acting, obviously. So how did you get into character when you filmed Weeds?
That's a good question. It's very like intuitive. Like you kind of, you think you're doing the scene, you're learning the lines and it's just finding whatever emotion you think the character's feeling. And you do that with the other actors in a scene. You do that with the director. You do that with even some producers will come in or writers and kind of talk to you about the character and it's really like, here's the scene. These are the lines, like while you're acting out the scene with the other actors, like feel X, Y, Z emotions while you're like in the right way. And yeah, the whole process of acting is very, like, I think for some people it's very methodical and thought out. For me, it's very like intuitive imagination in the moment where I'm living that character as it comes through during that take of the scene. And I do it in three or four different ways until there's something that kind of fits and it all clicks together. And then we film a bunch of times until the director's happy and then move on and do it again for the next scene. And through it all, there's kind of a through line of the character, how the character, is.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Would you say you're pretty different from your character, like you, and then what's your character's name?
Shane.
Shane. So Alexander versus Shane, how do they differ?
At the time, I mean, Shane was a lot darker, but I think personality was like somewhat similar. Like Shane was definitely someone who was very like intense and deep and I kind of, that kind of mirrored how I was as a teenager. I was definitely like much like lighter of a person than he was, because he had some very heavy life experiences. But like, maybe if I had had those really heavy life experiences, I could have not killed people but gone down that, you know, that path. So there's definitely like personality similarities in me and him, which I think is often the case. I think a lot of times people who are actors have a range of characters that they can play and they're kind of sort of that character in different things, but it's and that's kind of mirrors themselves in some way.
Yeah. Yeah, and I wonder if like some actors leave a series or like a movie with like almost like a little bit of a different personality. Like maybe they take some of their character with them, you know? Do you think that ever happens?
I would imagine it does.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would imagine that if you get really into a character, you pick up some kind of traits and...
Yeah, well, it's got to.
It's idiosyncrasy that you built off of that, yeah.
Yeah, because you're literally acting that way for, like, years, you know?
Yeah, and personality is very, like, I think it's personality is pretty fluid. Like, if you start dressing a certain way and acting a certain way, like, you're going to become that way over time. Acting is the same. Like, you're just doing it for a specific character, and then it's going to kind of get in under your skin a bit.
Yeah, which can be bad or good, you know, depending on who that character is.
Yeah, I mean,
you're just gonna, I mean, because maybe the character is actually a better person, and then it just makes you a better person. But yeah, it's probably mostly the other way around.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely, it's pretty well known, like with Heath Ledger, like he played the Joker,
and that's awesome. That
was probably a really hard experience to play like that.
Oh, yeah,
psychotic, you know. Yeah, it's gonna make you do some crazy things.
Actors, yeah, they put like everything into it. It's like, it's work, you know, and it can impact them too, you know. There's always a risk to it.
Yeah, I mean, you're trying. Your job as an actor is to feel an emotion so strongly that the audience feels that same emotion with you, to some degree.
Yeah,
you're gonna get into that in a very intense way, and it's gonna definitely can have an effect.
I always thought it'd be kind of difficult to be like married to an actor or like an actress. Cause like, it's just like, are you acting right now? Or, you know what I mean? Who am I talking to? You know what I mean? I'd be like, I don't know. I just feel like it'd be kind of difficult, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely, there's a level to which as an actor, you have the ability to slip into to different like roles, I guess. I think it's a little harder because otherwise if you can tell if someone's like not maintaining consistent personality throughout, you know. So, and acting is very, like, I'm a terrible liar. Like, acting is not the same thing as lying, you know. Like, it can't, like, if I'm telling a lie, my voice is going to change. I'm going to get nervous. Like, I can't lie easily. But if I'm acting, it's not lying. I'm just in that character, you know, that it's truth through that character. So there's at least that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Truth through the character. That makes sense.
So then you can almost like just tell yourself you're acting then in times when you need to lie. You're like, all right, I got to put on this character.
I think that's kind of maybe. Yeah, I don't know if I have like a specific, you know, this is the character I need if I'm going to be lying.
Right. All right. Well, we can get into something more fun now, more light.
Dude, I really want to act a scene now, dude.
Wait, hold on. I have a question first. Okay. Like, has anyone in public, maybe when you're younger, but also as Shane and Weeds, you can answer as that too, but has anyone been like, dang, your voice sounds really familiar?
So because of Weeds, I got recognized all the time. It did. So funnily enough, that happened because of Weeds. It was like a year or two into COVID, and I was wearing like a beanie and a mask and everything. And I was checking out of the grocery store, and the person checking me out goes, "Were you Shane on Weeds?" And I was like, "Really? How the hell would you know that? Because I'm literally, my entire face is covered."
Oh my God.
And she recognized me just from my voice. Nemo, not so much, because by the time, like, I finished that when I was 9. By the time I was 12, my voice had changed and it didn't really.
Right. You're more like Martin now, like his dad.
Yeah.
Marlon.
Yeah. It sounded more like Marlon. Yeah, but I've also gotten people who recognize me from Weeds, but kind of know Nemo more, and then they'll come up to me and be like, "Were you the voice of Nemo in Finding Nemo?" And kind of will ask me about it. I had that experience a lot. Different people coming up to me and recognizing me and taking the picture and talking to me about different things.
Do you like that, or is it kind of like weird?
I thought it was cool. It's kind of always a chance to make someone's day. There was a point.
True, yeah.
There was a point when Weeds was really popular when I was around 15, 16, where it happened like multiple times a day. And that just got a little like exhausting because, you know, I'm just trying to hang out with my friends, go to the mall, whatever. And I'm constantly getting stopped and asking to take pictures, which I can only imagine what it's like, you know, for the big Disney stars who literally can't go outside because they get mobbed. I luckily didn't have that level. But no, I always thought it was a really like great opportunity to kind of connect with someone and meet someone. And yeah, you know, they go home with that picture and show everyone and it makes their whole week. So
that's right. Cool. They're probably
that's a good way to think about it. Yeah.
Yeah. But I do see how it could be hard though, like for celebrities to just keep like a positive attitude about the whole thing. Like if you're constantly getting stopped, it's just hard to keep up the positive vibes, you know? And then it's like, you kind of act out on one person, then they get a video of it, and then it's like, this guy's like a douchebag, you know? So
you definitely can't like act out. You can't have a moment. Right. I never did that because I was always definitely aware, like, oh, someone could pull out a video camera. Not that I would.
I'm sure we would have heard about it too. Like, Nemo's freaking mean.
Yeah.
Nemo knocks out fan.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have been intense.
Everyone's favorite childhood character just hit a kid.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Just wet on it on some, yeah.
That's funny, man.
That'd be funny. Yeah, I don't think I've heard of anyone going that like wild. There's a few people I think I've heard of like who get kind of annoyed. Like I think it's Tobey Maguire who did. Spider-Man who gets pretty like pissed with the paparazzi.
Justin Bieber
does. Yeah. That's different too. Like when you have like paparazzi are not just fans. They're like aggressive people who follow you around with cameras to try to like take your picture and catch you at
that. Oh, they're using you for their own benefit.
Yeah.
It's just, it's pretty weird how that all started out. Yeah. Like who was the first person to go out there and be a creep like that? You know, like.
Yeah. Right.
It's just weird, right. Dude.
Yeah. And came up with that idea of we're going to go follow people around with cameras and try to get pictures of them. And,
like, yeah, how's that not a crime? How's that not like being a peeping Tom, basically?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's really weird.
Yeah. Kind of a weird facet of the world.
Yeah. No, yeah. If they came out with Nemo 3, would you go back and be like, I don't know, Finding Nemo's Son? Like, that would be the name of the movie, and you'd be like the dad or something. Would you?
Be great.
You'd like that?
That'd be cool. I was a small role in Nemo 2 in the Finding Dory.
Did
a small little cameo at the end. I'd love to do that. Like if there was an opportunity to go back and play Nemo as an adult, like that would be definitely exciting. Cool.
Dude, that'd be sick. Yeah, yeah, you guys are here. Disney, reach out to them.
Right.
Dude, that'd be available. Awesome.
Yeah.
That'd be so cool.
Be full circle. All right, so we're gonna do create.
I thought like the script was ready to go. Here, oh, I already have it.
Well, I was gonna say create Nemo 3 script and then us three do it. You like that?
That's right. Good.
Create. Here's a possible opening scene. All right, here we go. Talon, who's Talon?
Oh, I got dibs on Talon.
All right, I'll be Coral.
It's funny because Coral, I'm pretty sure, was the name of the mom in Nemo.
Really?
Here.
Wait, dude, she's alive, dude.
She's alive?
Alive.
Wait, but let's say she's alive,
dude. I don't want to be her, bro.
I'll be whatever her name is. Coral. Fine, dude. All right, here we go. All right, I'll set the scene. All right, Alexander, you got Nemo, obviously.
Yeah.
All right, cool. All right, fade in. The sunlight pierces through the surface, illuminating a vast, colorful coral reef. A shadow moves swiftly over the reef. Something big. A familiar clownfish emerges from behind a sea fan. Nemo. Now a fully grown adult moves with confidence, but carries a look of concern in his eyes.
Where is he? He never wanders off this far.
A sleek silverfish with a bold streak of blue rushes toward Nemo. Talon, a young and adventurous blue tang.
Nemo, you won't believe what I found. It's huge, it's glowing, and it might be dangerous.
Before Nemo can respond, another figure approaches Coral, a fierce but kind-hearted lionfish, her spiky fins moving like a royal cloak.
He's not exaggerating. This thing, it's like unlike anything we've seen before.
Show me now.
Talon zips through the water, leading Nemo and Coral deeper into the reef. The ocean floor starts to change. The colors dim, the color fades, and an eerie glow pulses in the distance. The trio reaches a mysterious crater where a strange, bioluminescent object rests. It glows with an unnatural light, casting odd patterns on the sand. It looks alien.
What is it?
Nemo inches closer, eyes narrowing. The light flickers and suddenly surges, illuminating the entire trench. A deep rumbling sound echoes through the water. The ground beneath them shifts slightly. A dark shadow moves inside the crater. We shouldn't be here. A massive eye opens within the glowing depths, watching them. Smash to black. To be continued.
Damn.
That was crazy, bro. What is it?
What's crazy is Nemo gets one line, right?
Yeah,
or like two lines.
Two lines, dude. Yeah, what? Why did ChatGPT do that? Dang, bro.
Wait, no, that was cool,
that's
though.
That's so cool.
Wait, dude, that sounds crazy really good.
No, we should start this for real. It's crazy how like ChatGPT can just create like a whole script there.
It's so crazy. Yeah. And it knows the concept of the movie and yeah.
Everything, man.
Yeah.
Do you use ChatGPT when you're with your business stuff today?
Yeah, with programming, like I was just saying, it's super helpful. Like you can build things in triple the time. Like I'm happy I started programming before ChatGPT was a thing, because I like understand fundamentals and you know, if I get stuck on something or ChatGPT can't figure it out, I usually can. But yeah, it saves a lot of time and is very helpful for generating specifically things that are like they call it like boilerplate, like just, oh, it needs, I just want a page that looks like this, like, and it creates it, you know, and then you can work little details inside of it.
Yeah. That's so nice. That's super nice.
It also knows who you are, because I was like asking it questions about you and it was like, oh, Alexander.
Really?
Like, oh, awesome.
It's That's crazy. Awesome. Yeah. It knows a lot about you, dude. Yeah.
Wild. Yeah. I mean,
whatever. It's kind of creepy in a way. He's kind of like a pervert.
Yeah. But, not everyone. Anything that you put online, he knows. So.
Yeah, sure.
That was scary.
Definitely a little creepy.
I feel like some people don't get that. Like I'm in like Twitch chat sometime and there's like some 40-year-old guys that's like, do you not realize that like whatever you put out here, like this is staying here?
Right.
Like
yeah,
they just crazy.
All right.
No,
it's
shame.
Like,
dude.
That generation above is like I feel like they're a little blindsided by the whole internet thing. Like they get it, but they don't like they weren't born in it, so they don't like understand.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't think they understand. It's like all stored somewhere in some
you know. In the cloud. What's the cloud? It's just a bunch of servers that have to be out.
Dude, so I can flirt with this 14-year-old. Like it's not on the cloud.
Yeah, don't do that.
Weirdos. Yeah, dude. Yeah, but I feel like we're getting like more into the future. I feel like people don't really even like care. Like everybody's. A lot of it's just so out there. I feel like we're going to start seeing people just not caring at all, like about what's out there, you know, or like TikTok, like people are talking about how the Chinese can see everything. Nobody cares.
Right.
You know,
it's, what are they going to do with it?
I mean, it, like Theo Von said, like, oh, well, now they know I wear a size 10 and a half. It's like, yeah. Like,
that's facts. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, but it's interesting. Yeah, it's super interesting, dude. It's going to be crazy to see where animation goes, too. Like, do you think it's, do you think animation has declined, or do you think it's gotten crazier?
I don't know. I did just see, like, the renderings of, like, the new Shrek movie, and it just looks, like, a lot worse. Like, the animation looks worse than the original one did. I think there's a lot of tools that people are using to render things that are a little more AI-based, and it doesn't necessarily, it's not, like, the art that you get when you're, like, every single pixel.
Like Transformers. Transformers CGI is like still like unmatched. Like I haven't seen anything modern that's like as good.
So I think definitely like with the AI tools comes a little bit more like sloppiness with how things are built. I'm also interested in how it's going to affect like the industry. This is another idea I was kind of thinking about is like AI tools for actors. Like how can I like integrate AI with actors to kind of, you know, help them in their process and book new roles. And, like, I don't think we're nearing a place where AI is going to replace actors because how could like even the best model can't do like a full video. And I don't think they'll be able to for a while because, like, a full film, you know, would maintain the same character throughout it. But there's definitely ways to, like, help the process. So that could be cool, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it could ever replace, like, a full movie just because, like, you need that human aspect to it, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know, even in animation, you know, you still need somehow to relate these fictional characters to, like, the human side of things.
And also it's like whenever you put Margot Robbie in a movie, like that's getting guys like to the theater. It's like, oh, I gotta go see that. But you put an AI generated person that's like doesn't even exist now. It's weird. You know,
because you have a chance with Margot Robbie, you don't have a chance with an AI thing.
right exactly.
Even if it's like 0.0001% chance,
it's still there. Yeah,
yeah. And there's also like a level of like when they're recording, like I was saying for Nemo, like they're filming my face and they're animating to my expressions. And they do that with people. Like you need that kind of reference. Like you might be able to get an AI to show a certain expression or something, but I don't think that they're going to like be able to fully emote a range of a scene, you know, where it goes, switches from one to another really naturally and shows that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you seen what they do for like the Planet of the Apes? They hook up these people to like these like wires and stuff and like
their face and everything. Yeah.
That seems super efficient because it's almost just like taking their movements and just adding a bunch of weird, like, you know, chimpanzee stuff on it.
Yeah. Animation on top of it. Yeah. That's cool. I'd love to do a film like that. That would be like
that would be sick.
Definitely an exercise in imagination. Cause you have to think of yourself as like a different species thing.
Yeah.
Which would be cool.
Oh, that'd be fun, dude. Yeah. Yeah, walking around like an ape. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Anything else you guys want to touch on? Or Alexander, you want to say anything else like to the people out there before we wrap it up?
No, I mean, if you're watching, go ahead and follow me on Instagram. I think if you could maybe put it in the show notes or whatever platform. I'm trying to grow my Instagram, share some stories. I might put some clips of this up there. Sick. Kind of branching out into some other things, might be doing a podcast of my own soon. So stay tuned.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Man. Well, I can't wait to keep up with that, man.
Yeah. Thanks.
Cool, dude. Oliver, you want to do an outro?
Oh, I was going to let you do the outro. I hit the intro.
Well, I hit the intro last episode, and then you made me hit the outro too, dude.
No, I can hit the outro. I'm happy to do an outro.
Well, all right, you do the outro.
All right, okay, but now you seem like you want to do the outro.
All right, I'll do the outro. All right, guys, thank you for joining us. That was Alexander Gould, legendary voice actor. And he's getting into tech and other business stuff. Like he said, go follow him on Instagram. Such a cool, interesting guy. And really love talking to you today. Thank you guys for listening. And go check out some t-shirts at trueclassicstees.com and check out our new merch that we just dropped. All right. Thank you, guys.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.